the Ozarks, back on the farm.
Well, come on in and set a spell, won't you, neighbors? Here's that lovable First Lady of the Ozarks, Mae Kennedy McCord, ready to chat with you about this, that, and the other in Ozark folklore and traditions, and, well, sort of generally speaking, to help brighten up your day on this Saturday in May. Good morning, Mae.
Good morning, Fred. I just telling Fred he looks so nice in a light suit, black hair. Fred's good looking. He bears that reputation anyway. Fred, you really bear that reputation. That's not a bad reputation to bear. You know, people so often ask me about people on the radio, and they ask me about Fred, and they used to ask me about Jim Kendrick and all about different ones. Well, they're all grand people, I'll tell you that. How goes it with all of you this morning? Peace be with you. God love you, and may your day be bright and beautiful. It's a fine day today. It's a lovely world. And this is America, a great country. And I know you're all glad you live here. At its worst, it is still the best country on the face of the earth. You know that. I'm still remembering this morning about a lovely little thing I read last night. It said, God built a continent with glory and filled it with treasures untold. He bedecked it with soft rolling prairies. He pillared it with thundering mountains. He scattered sweetly flowing springs. He graced it with deep shadowed forests and filled them with bird song. These treasures would have meant little if myriads of people, the bravest of the races, had not come, each bearing a gift of hope. They had the glow of adventure in their eyes and the glory of hope in their souls. And out of them was fashioned a nation blessed with a sublime purpose. They called it America. Well, it is. It's a great country, and democracy is a grand old boat. It's a little bit cumbersome to handle because we don't shoot people in the back when they don't toe the line like they do in some places. But you can't sink this old boat of democracy. You just can't sink it. I don't know why I should get myself all stewed up about my country right here this morning, for she's plenty able to take care of herself without me. But I think I've had a sort of serious strain ever since sitting and watching this last astronaut go up and spin around this silly little ball we call the Earth. After all, it's a speck. It's just a speck among millions. Spin around at the rate of thousands of miles an hour. I was just thinking as I sat and watched the astronaut and wondered, just think what one generation brings. In my childhood, did I ever dream even of an automobile running around with, as the Chinaman said when he first saw one, no pushy, no pulley. No pushy, no pulley. Or did I ever dream that a man in my day would circle a globe 22 times and come back down safe and sound? Did I ever dream that I would sit with a tiny box of a radio about 12 inches square, that little bit of a radio I had, holding it in my hands, and hear the King of England bid goodbye to his throne for the woman he loved? No wires, nothing that I could see going across the world. I didn't see any message or anything. And then hear Big Ben, the big clock, that there in London, strike the hour after he had talked. Across oceans, over plains and mountains, under waters. And then the thought struck me so forcefully last night, what under high heaven will the people see in the next generation? What on earth? The people who are children and babies now, it scares me to think of it. It takes a lot of faith, you know, and trust. But I still say, don't invite me to go on that joyride to the moon that you're going on. I'm perfectly willing to turn the moon over to my enemies. They can have it and gone with it. Now we'll come down to earth a while, to doing the weekly washing, the old-fashioned washing. You remember that about a year ago, I read a piece a woman sent me, taken from an old, old paper, she said. It was directions for washing the clothes, and was written by a grandmother in Kentucky 100 years ago for her granddaughter who was a bride. This old-time recipe, oh, I got so much word about it. And I sent out so many of them. This old-time recipe seems to have gone everywhere because it's been in other papers, and I've had several send it to me. And many have asked me to repeat it. It's cute. Well, this copy was sent me by Ms. Lucy Sterling at Wablo, so here it is. I think a woman sent to me for a copy of this just rather recently. I think I have one left, or one or two, and I'll hunt it out and send her one. And a man in Alabama sent for a copy of that washing recipe, and I sent it to him. It says, first build a fire. Well, F-A-R, fire. You know, the old people didn't say fire, they said far. They used to call it fire, and then they'd call war for wire, and arn for iron. I'm going to arn this morning. Build your fire and heat a kittle of rainwater. Then set two tubs so smoke won't blow in your eyes if the wind is pert. Now, pert is the correct word, of course, but our old folks said peart. Don't you remember that? They do yet. Shave one whole, and it's got to spell H-O-L-E, one whole cake of soap in biling water. Sort out the things. Make three piles, one pile of white, one colored, one pile of work breeches and rags. Then stir starch, and she's got it S-T-O-R-C-H, stir starch in cold water till smooth, then thin it down and cook with biling water. And my mother used to make her starch out of flowers, didn't have starch half the time. Rub your things on the board, then take the white things out of the kittle after you've biled them with a broomstick, and then rinse and blue and starch. Spread the towels on the grass. Hang old rags on the fence. Pour your wrench water on the flower bed. Scrub the porch with the hot suds left over. Turn your tubs upside down. Go put on a clean dress. Smooth your hair with your side combs. Brew a cup of tea. Set and rest and rock a spell and count your blessings. Now there's your washing. That's a pretty good one. I ran across a note written in 1950 from Edith Hutton, my grand good friend at Steelville, Missouri. Some way the letter had gotten away from me. I don't remember about it. Oh, how things get away from me. Anyway, it seems that I had said on the air that President Zachary Taylor was a bachelor. I don't know just how the subject came up about him, and I don't know how I came to say he was a bachelor. I guess I thought he was. So Edith wrote me and said, May, you said Zachary Taylor was a bachelor in last Sunday's broadcast. In that case, my great uncle, William Taylor Barnes, turned over in his grave, for his aunt was supposed to be Zachary Taylor's wife. And their daughter Sarah was Jeff Davis's first wife. And then she told me that it was said that President Zachary Taylor was the first president to have cuspidors, or just plain spittoons, placed in the White House. I wonder where they spit before that. Aimed at the fireplace, maybe, or something. She said she hoped I would get a laugh out of it all and take it as a joke. Well, Edith, I took it as a joke. And I do thank you. I looked it up, and you're right. So your great-uncle, Mr. Taylor Barnes, can rest in peace and not turn over in his grave. I don't blame him for turning over. And I'm glad you have such a fine, distinguished kinsman as old Zachary Taylor back in your ancestry. And these little mistakes just prove to me that, as I once said, I really don't know very much. And, you know, I don't know it all at all. God bless you, Edith, and your good hubby, too. Here is a cute thing copied from the little paper they publish out at Grand Acres Rest Home. And grand it is. Do you know I go there? Used to go a great deal. Haven't been lately. I must go back. Go and sing, and we play, and we have birthday parties out there, and oh, it's wonderful. I've never seen a sweeter, kinder, happier place than Grand Acres Home. It's wonderful how the good time the old folks have out there. Mr. Owen, the capable editor, sends me the little paper that they publish, as I told you, out there. It's filled with all sorts of things, little religious things, little humorous things, and all news about everybody and who's visiting them there in the home. And oh, it's a wonderful paper. And this is what I said. A certain pupil turned in an essay on cats and people. And here's what the essay said. Cats and people are funny animals. Cats have four paws, but only one maw. people have four fathers, that's F-O-R-E, four fathers, but only one mother. When a cat smells a rat, he gets excited. So do people. Cats carry tails, and so do a lot of people carry tails, too. All cats have fur coats. Some people have fur coats, and the ones who don't have fur coats say catty things about the ones who do have them. I thought that was a cute essay the kid turned in. Thanks for trading stamps, and I do hope I have written a card to everyone who sent stamps, and I hope I've missed no one. If I did, I'll get to you. I try to very intently. You know, that reminds me, a woman in St. Louis several years ago there on radio sent me a poem about a postcard. I've kept it ever since. You folks ought to all write more postcards to your friends and your loved ones. They cost more now than they did, but they are handy, and you can really say a lot on them. Try to form this habit. I buy them by the hundreds almost. I spend far more than I should on postcards to drop a line to my friends. This poem is called A Penny Postcard. It was sent to me in 1942. And you see, a postcard then was a penny postcard. Just think of it. Cost only a penny. My, how the world moves. This poem she had dedicated to her sister, who wrote her postcards so often. Just a penny postcard, and the postman brought this way, but it told me of the many joys she'd share with me this day. Just a penny postcard with wishes glad and free of wealth and health and happiness, it brought such joy to me. You precious penny postcard to joy and sorrow share, you come almost any day or hour, you fit in anywhere. You come to beds of sickness, you come when days are long, you come when gladness overflows and life seems one sweet song. Oh, little penny postcard, oh, do not stay away. You are a part of my whole life. I look for you each day. And I know that when the time is here that you should fail to come, and that dear one that sent you is anchored safe at home, I'll watch the postman pass me by with heartache and with love, and know a penny postcard is sent me from above. My mother wrote almost every day, and I have bundles of them, postcards. She was like me. She could get almost anything on a postcard, including love, cheer, fun, a whole bushel of news, and the Constitution of the United States. I have a great lot of her postcards yet. Well, I want to leave with this little poem with you. It won't take me a minute. You may be blue this morning, but the Bible says, be still and know that I am God. Be still and know whatever may be tied, no door is closed, but that another opens wide. With blessings more wonderful than you have known, dare to step through this door and claim your own. Lift up your head and heart, be brave and strong, and let this thought go ever by your side. No door is closed, but another opens wide. Goodbye, and I'll be seeing you next Saturday, the Lord willing, in the creek.